In the studio with me, Linda Briarty and Eli Jackson Bear. Two people who I think could add a great deal to our understanding of what's happening in the world and our understanding of ourselves. Also during this time, we're going to get a chance to share you, to hear from you as well. But right now, before we do, we're going to have to take a very short hello with Eli. Eli, what a time for you to be here. Welcome back to New York.
Thank you so much, Armando. I'm so glad to be here. I came as soon as I could.
We're going to be doing a lot more calls later, but let's start right now with your perception of what this is, Eli.
Yes. So there's a great, in this mourning, in the tragedy, in the shattering, there's a great opportunity. There's been a psychic wound. There's been a hole torn in the fabric of the trance of our time. And the tendency is to try to sew it up as quick as possible. But if instead this opportunity is used to dive into this hole, rather than to sew it up and avoid it, then this tragedy can be put to good use.
All right, now that's a big statement, and we're going to have to break this down. Also in the studio with us, Linda Briarty. Linda, welcome. I'm glad you're here with us.
Thank you, Armand. Great to be here.
A hole in the illusion. This is very interesting because this is kind of what it is. You know, this is, in psychiatry, we have a thing called a narcissistic wound. A narcissistic wound is when you believe yourself to be one thing and something proves to you that you're not that thing.
Yes.
This breaks the image of yourself.
Yes.
And for many people, that's too much for them to handle.
Well, the first time that I remember it in my time is when John Kennedy was assassinated. There was a psychic wound. There was a tear in the fabric of what was considered reality. And no one knew how to deal with it, and we dealt with it the best we could. But now, in it happening again, we have a more sophisticated possibility of how to make good use of it.
The wound is that we thought we were invulnerable.
Yes.
What is the illusion that we were living with?
Well, there's all levels of it.
Okay, let's go to all the levels of it. Let's start with average man's level.
Average man's level, it could never happen here. So we could never be attacked. This is revolutionary in this country that this actually can happen here. And then the level of the impermeability. Then you have the level of, you know, the Jerry Falwell, who says God has removed his protective cover of America. You know, so you have all these different layers of suddenly there's an exposure of something that wasn't there before. And so in this, we all feel the mourning and the wounding. But the tendency is to try to cover it up, to try to make it go away, to try to distract ourselves, to numb out, to watch television, to do something so that we don't have to bear feeling what has been uncovered. But what's been uncovered is what's been here all along.
What is that?
This terror of death, terror of annihilation, terror of the loss of what we hold dear.
So you believe that people sit with and live with a kind of terror all the time, and that they're kind of, it's sitting underneath, and then we dance off the top of this, and then two airplanes break through.
Yes.
This belief system, and we touch the terror that is there.
That's right.
It is not that it's a new terror.
That's right.
It's we've been scared all along, but been hiding it.
That's right.
We've been afraid of death the whole time.
Yes.
But we kind of stay away from it.
We make believe we're invulnerable. We have this myth. We have this fantasy. We live in a daydream. And suddenly the daydream has popped. Suddenly what's been happening all over the world happens here. And oh my God. And then it comes home that it's possible here. And in this shattering, the tendency, as I see, is first there's a shock. And in the shock, it's like in any life and death emergency where there's shock, there is a numbness that happens. In order to be able to deal with any life and death circumstance, you go numb. You can't feel the feelings. You can't do anything about thinking about what's happening next or what was happening yesterday. You're present in the moment, and there's this timeless moment of numbness where action can happen. Then, after the numbness, come the waves of what was not experienced in that moment. And the first thing, there's the pain of loss, and there's terror. But the tendency is to ignore the terror and go up into rage, and then projecting the rage, and then channeling all the unexperienced terror into projecting rage at somebody else who did it to you. And then the terrors again, once again overlooked, the hole and the opportunity that was opened up gets sewn back together with the mind, and we end up looking again in the wrong direction.
Armand DeMille here with you with the Positive Mind, a special edition. My guest, Eli Jackson Bear, master of the Enneagram and many other things, quite a teacher in his own right, and has been coming here to America, to New York, to the East Coast from his West Coast settings, has been teaching quite a bit. Eli, I guess you're a Buddhist.
I'm not anything.
You're not anything. You're just...
And I'm everything. Whatever you want to call me, I'm that too.
Okay. Not late for dinner.
Even that.
Even that you can call me.
Yeah, it was interesting what you were just saying. It goes up and out into anger and projection.
That's right.
And you're suggesting the alternative would be what?
To actually go in, to find, to be willing to bear everything. If you're willing to bear the terror, if you don't trigger the fight or flight syndrome, which is what America right now is in, fight and flight syndrome. This is what happens when fear arises. We're going to either run away or we'll fight against it. So the initial response, oh my God, run away, get safe, and then, okay, let's fight and kill whoever it is that's threatening us. But if you don't do either one, you feel the terror and you drop underneath it, then you find, oh my God, there's this despair of a human existence. And this despair of a human existence is considered unbearable, and so no one wants to feel it. If you get close to it, and it's called depression, you get medicated. But rather than that, if you're willing to go into it, then you find that underneath it is the truth of yourself.
It's an interesting thing, because I've been seeing a lot of people, and their responses have been, in general, well, I think I've got to move out of the city.
Yeah, fight and flight.
Fight and flight, right? I think I've got to buy a gun, someone said today, and I'm going to carry a gun with me everywhere.
Same.
I think I should close up my shop and buy a store outside of Manhattan.
Yeah.
You know, to be off the island. But it's the same thing. What's the right move to make?
Yeah.
Somehow, the only move to make is to find a solid core inside yourself.
To find the truth.
You see, I think that's where many people are better off than we are, in Europe, in the Middle East, because they faced this vulnerability all this time.
Well, you know, that's, I find, Armand, I go to Europe twice a year, and I have a much larger audience and a much deeper audience in Germany, because the German people have had this psychic wounding so profound, and they've all had to face it and have all had to deal with it, and it has deepened them as a people, and it has matured them as a people. The ones I deal with, anyway, I see it, and it's, so now you could say this is a deepening and a possible maturing for the United States, if we're willing to face it. But the tendency is, and the tendency of our leadership, is to move away from that, to move exactly back into, George Bush called it a crusade. I mean, you know, calling it a crusade, how ironic that this is the word that the man would choose to use.
What does that mean to you, well, that he would use crusade?
Well, first of all, if you look at the Crusades, what were the Crusades? The Crusades were a murderous, nasty time where medieval, ignorant Europeans cut a swath of death and destruction on their way to trying to destroy the, at that point, the peak of Arabian civilization, where there was culture, where there was higher mathematics, where there was science, where a whole world had developed that later passed in to alleviate the dark ages of Europe, comes out of what the Crusades try to destroy. And then ultimately, the Crusades are destroyed. The Crusaders are killed. They're wiped out. So the metaphor, when Arabs want to put down the imperialist Americans, they call them crusaders. So this is madness. This is absolute, on every level, historically, metaphorically. I mean, as if there's a holy crusade against the enemy. Who was it that dropped, who was it that piloted the bombs? They were on a crusade. So what you're seeing is a mirror image. You're seeing madness facing madness, crusaders facing crusaders. And in that, all that gets done is horror and destruction, coming and going, both sides.
We have to look at ourselves. Many people, Eli, and one of the reasons I was glad you were here as well, is although I know we don't like to classify people and say that people are one sort or another sort, you know, there is different people having different reactions. And we know of 9 different approaches,
yes,
to how you would deal with terror, fear, and aggression. And we know it from the Enneagram. And I think that's a very valuable tool. So since we have this time, I would love people to understand. I want to start off with the very beginning of what you said about the fabric being broken, the illusion being broken, because yeah, there is a basic illusion, and the basic illusion of all mankind, what would you say it is?
The basic illusion of all mankind is that I am separate, and that there's a separate world out there, and that I have to do something to survive. And if you see this, if you take humankind back to the beginning, it's 9 million years ago, this human species arises as an omnivore, as another one of the primates. And this primate that arises 9 million years ago is involved in hunting. Hunting and gathering, it's called. Okay, what is hunting? Hunting is aggressively looking out to the environment to kill it and eat it. And this is what we were set up to do. So for 9 million years, this primate species that is willing to eat meat, whatever it is, goes out, hunts and kills, hunts and kills, hunts and kills. Then, after the last ice age, which is the start of our present time, agriculture starts. So agriculture now for 30,000 years. 30,000 years against the backdrop of 9 million years of hunting. So our genetic impulse, hunting and killing, hunting and killing, hunting and killing. And then 30,000 years later, agriculture starts. Whoa, a revolutionary thing. Now you actually have a different possibility for life. You have the start of civilization. Also, you have since you have agriculture, you can now store food. Since you can store food now, you have wealth. And once there's wealth, then there's the start of money. Money represents the wealth, what's been stored. So now we have a whole new way of relating to the world through this idea of money. Also out of the same area, the Fertile Crescent that starts this agriculture, you get this these 12 tribes of Bedouin goat herders who during a drought, now a couple thousand years later, wander out of the Fertile Crescent into Egypt where they're enslaved and they're put to work building the pyramids. Moses then, educated by the pharaohs in the mystery school, gets the secret. Because it's kept a secret, because if everybody were to know, the religions would fall. So the priesthood keeps the secret. It's all one. There's only one. In truth, there's only one. Every eye, behind every eye is the same eye. Only one. It's a secret. Moses takes it. He says, okay, there's only one God. He gives it to these tribes, these 12 tribes of Bedouin herders, and says, there's only one God. Forget all your idols. Forget all your images. There's only one God, and he's ours. And he loves us, and we're special. And we can go out and kill everyone else because God is on our side. Well, you can imagine that this is disconcerting to the people around. And so pretty soon Jesus comes along. And now the Christians can now say, the Goyim can now say, there's only one God. And he's ours. And now we can kill the Jews. We can kill everybody else because there's one God and he's ours. And then Muhammad comes along and says, yes, there was Moses. Yes, there was Abraham. There's Moses. There's Jesus. And now there's Muhammad saying there's only one God. And he's ours. And that's it. And so now you've got this one God that belongs to me. And it's okay for me to kill everybody else. And on the other hand, there's money. And money becomes the power that gets worshipped as God.
And there's only one democracy, and it's ours. And there's only one freedom, and it's ours.
That's right.
Okay, and behind it all, there is a truth, though. There is only one.
That's right.
But it's not only one God.
That's right.
There is only one. And the basic illusion, according to you and according to what even I believe, is that that we are not part of a one, that we're all separate, that we are separate beings, that we are separate and removed, and we must stay separate and removed. That illusion means that we must avoid death because death brings us into unity, right? It means we have to remove ourselves from sameness, from compassion. We can't believe that some Palestinian running around who may be dedicated to what they're doing could be anything like us.
Yes.
But there's a part of almost every human that does cruel things.
It's inside each one of us. The good and the bad is inside each one of us. Mm-hmm. You know, so Bush calls these guys cowards. How cowardly is it to take your own life and the willingness to die for what you believe? It's not a cowardly act. It's as brave as the firemen who go and give their lives for what they believe.
And hateful. People listening to you saying, how could you call them brave, will hate you, Eli Jackson Bear, whose phone number, by the way, is, will hate you for saying they're brave.
That's right.
Oh, don't say anything good.
That's right.
You have to hate them, and you must hate them, because only through hate can we keep our separateness, keep the illusion of what we are.
Yes.
And the illusion, once it's broken down, starts making us feel this kind of vulnerability. And then underneath that vulnerability is where we find a solidness.
That's right.
So this is a golden opportunity.
This is a rare opportunity for everyone in this country. This wound, this gaping hole that's been torn open, it's a possibility to sink in, to find the truth of yourself. And when you find the truth of yourself and you know yourself as immortal conscious love, which is the truth, and when you realize it directly, then you can experience it all. You can feel the pain. How could you not weep for the brave firemen who did their thing? I mean, it's heartbreaking. How could you not weep for the victims who did nothing wrong all over the world? All over the world, you see the victims. You see the heartache and the bloodshed, and everything's included when you know yourself. Then you can actually be in service.
Armand DeMille, The Positive Mind, a special edition. Our special thanks to Gary Null for allowing us this extra time. Gary will be back with us tomorrow at 12 o'clock. The extra time today for us to be able to do a coverage touching the heart of the matter. Eli, people will respond differently. Some people are just cold as fish and say nothing is different, nothing has changed. Some people just see it all as fact. Other people are seeing it as a kind of thing that is terrible and horrible. What's going to make the difference between who has a hysterical response, believing the world is coming to an end and they fall into a pit of depression, and the ones who feel like they're really on top of it and it's just, you know, something that it happened 2 miles away, so therefore it's not going to touch me? I mean, you realize there are a lot of people here on the Upper West Side who feel no connection at all to what happened 2 miles away.
It's amazing, isn't it?
It is amazing, isn't it? So what's the difference? I mean, is it personality structure?
Yeah, that's levels of denial.
So tell me, let's talk about the different levels of denial or how different people might respond. Can we start with the perfectionist and how the perfectionist might respond?
Well, then there's angry rage about seeing...
Remember, the audience doesn't know anything about this, so Let's start off. We're talking about seven different approaches. Nine different approaches to what? How would you define this?
Well, there's nine different strategies for avoiding the truth.
Okay, nine different strategies for life. Mm. And life is avoiding the truth. But nine different strategies, these are in the Enneagram, which is a word that means the number nine, doesn't it?
Yes, in Greek.
In Greek. And it is, in effect, And in effect, we've just learned that we're going to start have one of those mechanical moments that are magical. At 12:30. We'll see if this one works. It should be beautiful. So the nine different approaches, let's start with one. The first one that we see is, let's say, since it starts with the number one, is a personality called a perfectionist, right?
Yes.
Let's talk about it.
So the perfectionist is angry about imperfection and looking for to find how to correct it and what can I do to make it more perfect. And, you know, it's like, if you look at the beauty of Mayor Giuliani in this moment, Giuliani has a one fixation. So it's angry, sarcastic, judgmental, put down, and everybody sees that about him. Plus the one has this weird sexual thing going on with this whore and Madonna thing, and you see that going on with Giuliani. You see his whole thing going. But in this moment, you see the transcendence of fixation. You see this humanness. You see this open willingness to bear what's here and deal with it. And so that to me is the possibility that's shown in moments of crisis is not the fixation, but what's more fundamental, more profound than the fixation.
When people get above their routine way of functioning, which is the fixation, what you're calling the fixation, a perfectionist normally now, if they're not able to get above it, how are they going to be? They're going to be organizing? What are they going to do?
Yeah, organizing, angry, judgmental, critical, sarcastic, put-downs, you know. But and you see that's the way Giuliani ordinarily functions. But then you see in this moment where it stops and his heart's open and there's a compassion, there's a humanness, and it's not about anything like that at all. And then he's just doing the best he can do, and it's quite beautiful to see that.
And the two personality, this is the giver.
Yeah, well, this
the
is
compulsive giver at this point. What they spot a need. Now they spot more need than ever before. So how would they be responding?
Well, there's going to be this hysteria. And so the hysterical response is to try to find safety and comfort in somebody strong. And so you're going to want to have somebody around you who can take care of it for you. They're basically looking for daddy to do it for you. And you'll do the best to take care of daddy. So that's this hysterical response to it.
And what other kind of responses are there? Then there's a three personality who is the...
Yeah, so the three is the efficient one who can theoretically block the whole thing out and just carry on with business, you know, open the stock exchange, carry on with the marketplace. And that's basically what everyone wishes, that the all-Americans were threes, that we could just make believe it's not going on, carry on with business, and do it as business as usual, ring the bell, make it all real, and act as if it's all happening. And this is the great trance of the United States. This is this three culture, which is all about production and image and getting the job done. And who cares about your feelings? Get off your feelings and start selling, start buying, start consuming. The great hope is America will start consuming again. And this is what we're supposed to be. We're all supposed to be threes. We're all supposed to be out there producing and consuming, producing and consuming, producing and consuming, and working so hard that you don't have time to feel what's really going on. So some people will continue with that, but the opportunity here is that that's been shattered. And in the shattering, in the renting, you can stop life as usual. You can drop everything for a moment. You can come to stillness to stop the whole game. The game has been stopped for a moment for you out of grace. The grace of this tragedy is that everything stopped. For the first time ever, no planes were in the air. For the first time ever, everything stopped. So, oh, don't pick it up again. And what happens? If the whole country were to go, oh, I'm stopped here. I'm not picking up business as usual. I've got to find what's more fundamental. It can't just be about doing this job until I'm dead or till I retire. There's got to be something more fundamental. And if everyone stops, unknown, unknown. Then this sense of community that's developed here in Manhattan, which is so beautiful, this sense of connection, the sense of helping each other, that is so, has suddenly this sarcastic, hard-edged New Yorker is open. It's not so involved in their own routine that they can actually see someone else. They can actually relate to someone else. This can be the opening of something completely new and unknown in this world.
There are nine different fixations, nine different ways that we avoid ourselves. We've just looked at three of them, and here's an interesting thing. Did you see the president, the chief financial officer of Cantor Fitzgerald, in an interview? And Cantor Fitzgerald was one of the bond houses that had this major portion, 700 people wiped out in the World Trade Center. So here comes this chief guy who is one of the greatest businessmen. Great is a funny word. One of the most efficient businessmen that you could imagine. And he's doing this business, and all of a sudden, he stops, and he's on the TV, and he's weeping, and he took a hotel suite, and he took every resource out of his corporation, and he said, we're just going to take care of the families. He actually literally closed his business, took every resource, and said, it's time to turn it over. Yes. And you see the transcendence.
Yes.
You can actually see him during the interview. You could see this man transcend his ponytail background. You know, he had this, he looked like, you know, the Wall Street guy, the typical, you know. He's going to be making millions. And he stopped everything.
Yes.
He stopped. He said, no. This brings me to the fact that I'm human. I lost 700 people of my family.
Yes.
And so we see in each personality there gets to be an opportunity. Either you could dig in deeper,
yes,
or you could stop.
That's right.
And the world is inviting us to stop.
The world is inviting us to stop. This could be it. You know, we're in the middle of a world extinction. This is clear. The last world extinction just wiped out the dinosaurs and everything alive. Now we're in another world extinction. I just saw something that 25,000 species every year are lost. This is a magnitude of loss that hasn't happened since the dinosaurs. In the midst of this world extinction, in the midst of the destruction of the atmosphere, the destruction of the oceans, the destruction of humans, the destruction of everything that's alive, there's a possibility now in this renting to stop business as usual, to go inside, to find out who you are, to find out the truth of the situation, to find out what life really is. And then from that comes an awakening, and from this awakening lights the world. And in this lighting of the world, you become the light of the possibility for those around you. And then it spreads one by one. No religion, no hierarchy, no someone upstairs telling you what to do downstairs. But you are the light. You shine. You radiate it. And it's so simple. It's simply the willingness to stop the fight and the flight, the willingness to stop the conditioning, to stop giving yourself to the normal day-to-day, to take this moment to stop, to find out what's real, to find out what's true, to be willing to die to your egoic identity, to find your true identity. Then these dead have not died in vain.
Armand DeMille here, Eli Jackson Bear. We're going to be taking your calls in a little bit. We're going to take a short break. Be back with you shortly, friends. Stay with us.